Hey everybody, we're back! It's season two of Disney Inside Out podcast. Thank you so much for listening. Again, if you have enjoyed the show, like I've said in the past, please subscribe. Follow us on Instagram, Disney Inside Out Podcast. Leave a review on Apple Podcasts. I love to read them. Give us a rating. Share with your friends. I'm so excited because a couple things. Disney World turned 50. I know everybody was celebrating out there. I got to go to Disney World, not for the 50th, but before, and I saw some of the decorations. It was beautiful, so much fun. We're going to kick off season two with a couple of really fun guests. We have Connor Perkins and Caroline Amedi, the hosts of Poor Unfortunate Podcast. They're so much fun. Their show is so great. We're going to find out all about the show, how it got started, some favorite episodes of theirs, some favorite episodes of mine. We're going to talk about Disney World and the 50th celebration, what we're looking forward to. And we're even going to play a game. You're going to have to listen to find out what game we play, but it's pretty fun and it gets pretty interesting. Anyway, here's the host of Poor Unfortunate Podcast joining us for our initial episode of season two. Okay, welcome to the show, Connor Perkins and Caroline Amedi, hosts of Poor Unfortunate Podcast. Woo-hoo! Hello, how are you? How are you?
Good, how are you?
Thank you both for being here. I am such a fan of your show, as you know, as many, many people are, because your show is just like a viral sensation, I think. And
it does not feel like that to us.
Your show is so great, and we're going to talk all about it, but one of the things I wanted to talk to you both about first was Happy 50th Walt Disney World! Yay! I just kind of want to get your thoughts on the 50th in terms of, like, are there any things particular that you're looking forward to when you do visit Disney World that you're excited about that's new from the 50th? And I can list some of the things just to get your brain flowing. Like, the golden statues, there's the new cavalcades, there's new park maps, there's new food and drinks, merchandise, the beacons of magic. There's two new shows at Epcot and Magic Kingdom. The monorail has lights. There's new shopping bags. There's also the original ride attraction posters. Like, anything like that jump out to you?
I actually did not know about the shopping bags. And I'm not going to lie to you. That sounds kind of fun and I want to see them.
My God, that's such a Caroline answer.
Bags are so iconic. Come on.
It's all about merch for you.
The merch. I love the merch. So definitely the merch. Definitely the specialty food and drinks always get me super excited. But honestly, I was a huge Happily Ever After lover. So I'm really curious about this new Magic Kingdom fireworks show. I like the song. I've heard the song. I like the song. But for me, Happily Ever After was really, really hard to beat. So that would be the first thing that I would go see, besides the gorgeous, I think Connor will probably say this too, the gorgeous lights on Spaceship Earth.
Oh my God. It's so good. I knew if we just waited, y'all, we were going to get something good. And they blessed that beautiful ball. Oh my God. It's so good.
It is so good. And with that, I was like, why? Like, it made me think, why hasn't Epcot looked like that for so long? Because those lights on there, I was like, it could have been that way forever.
Yes.
Yeah. And when they put the little dumb little Mickey hand and the wand, and people were like, oh my God, we can't live without this. I'm like, no, we 100% can, because this is what we were building to. Oh my God. It's so good.
Yeah.
That is literally my favorite thing ever. I will not stop talking about it. I don't think that they're going to stop doing it, because that beacon of magic is just so different from the other ones. Cause it's not just projections. They installed the lights into it. So they better never stop doing that beautiful, beautiful thing.
Yeah. I think, you know, the celebration lasts 18 months, obviously, cause why would it not? And I think there's going to be things that continue, and I feel like that will be one of them. And I don't know if you saw the other one that's really cool, and I watched this the other day, is the Tower of Terror is the beacon of magic in Hollywood Studios.
Yeah. Which I also am like, I have questions, because it's not a central location in the park, but All right, go off. Tower of Terror. Continue. Right.
That park is such, I mean, they struggle with making it, the identity of that park.
It is a hot mess.
Yeah. Well, that it just goes to show you, like, it's exemplified in this. It's like, what is the main, what's the beacon of this park? At one point, do you remember when it was a sorcerer hat? Just, yeah. What? Yeah.
It's, but the way they lit up the Tower of Terror Beacon of Magic, it's like they bring the hotel to life. And at the top, there's people dancing.
Yeah, it's the TikTok club.
Yeah, it's supposed to be the top of the hotel, and you can see shadows of people partying. And I was like, that is cool.
Oh, okay.
Where it all goes down.
Yeah, and then you see them.
Oh, God. Oh, my God.
The beacons of magic are cool. And I love the Animal Kingdom one is really beautiful, too. Mm-hmm. But Epcot, definitely, I was like, oh, this should have always been like this. Like,
and when the monorail goes by with the lights under the monorail, it's just like, I'm in the future. Like, this is the future. Like, this feels right.
Yeah.
The Animal Kingdom one, I just feel like I haven't gotten a clear picture of what it actually looks like. Because I feel like no one will ever be able to do that justice in the same way that like pictures of the Tree of Life never do that thing justice until you see it live. So I feel like the Beacon of Magic sort of has a similar vibe where I'm like, I can't quite tell what's going on in the way that I can tell what's going on in the other ones.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
What was your experience in person of it? Because you saw it in person.
I didn't did you get not to see yet? It. Because when I went, it was Candle. September. Yeah. And so they didn't do all that until October.
Right.
So I saw some 50 things, but not like that. So now I'm already like, I want to go back.
Oh, yeah, it's time to go back. It's always time to go back.
Time to go back. The day you get back, you're like, time to go back. Yeah. And so I didn't see the new shows. However, I did watch the live streams of both shows. Not live, but, you know, they put them up.
Yeah.
And I feel bad saying it, but I'm kind of like let down with them.
Talk to me about Harmonious, because I just started reading some things online of people really not liking it. I haven't watched any of it yet.
So
I haven't watched it. I'm saving it.
Yeah. And today I actually listened to the soundtrack to both separately, to hear Enchantment and hear the Harmonious. Yeah. And the thing with the music this time around, which I understand and I don't understand, they're using Disney music, but it's all re-recorded. So none of it is the recordings from the movies.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh.
And I'm like, is that a licensing thing? Like, they don't want to have to pay, or like they wanted, you know, whoever the original performers were. But I will say in Epcot, the thing I do love about it is it uses the movies, but it uses the movies around the world showcase. So
yeah,
you do get to hear like beautiful Hunchback music, and you get to hear it sung, you know, in German, or, you know, in the language, you know, or France or French, you get to hear it sung in the language. And you get to hear music you don't always normally hear. So I like that about the show, but overall they just felt a little like underwhelming to me.
Wow.
I feel like Harmonious is going to be one that when you see it in person, it's going to be so much more impactful, just because it's so big. Like, there's nothing in Disney World aside from Fantasmic that has ever been just of that scale. And this feels like a little bit bigger than that. And I feel like a recording's not going to do that justice. But I feel like Enchantment, that might be a different story. People are hating Enchantment because, I mean, with Harmonious, it makes sense with the music, because that was like the intention of it, to like bring like music of the, oh my God, I keep hitting my microphone.
It's okay.
To like bring music from the different cultures around the world into it.
Yeah.
But with Enchantment, I'm sorry, there's no excuse not to use the music that everyone knows and loves. Like, you're at the Magic freaking Kingdom.
Yeah. I used to really get down to the Happily Ever After soundtrack. Connor would hear me in our apartment. Yeah,
my God, in the shower.
Happily Ever After.
I would put my headphones in because I was like, I've never seen Happily Ever After, and I'm not listening to it. I'm not watching it until I can see it in person. And then that didn't go well for me.
I think it's gonna come back. I have hope and
I heard a rumor. Yeah, I heard a rumor. I like that. Okay.
Because Happily Ever After to me felt like that would have been the 50th show.
Yes, like
Enchantment feels like the before, and Happily Ever After feels like, oh, this is like
I
the celebration.
So agree.
Show.
Exactly. Exactly.
Also, they put so much work into Happily Ever After to make that thing happen. That, like, I don't know. It just feels like it was so short-lived.
It does.
Because I didn't get to see it. And that's why it was short-lived. Because if I don't get to see it and it goes away, it was short-lived.
It was
doesn't matter if it's been 7 years since I've been to a park. It was short-lived.
It was short-lived, and that's all. That's the final word on that.
Exactly.
Do you have anything, Connor, that you are excited about, like, the 50th? I know we talked about the shows and things, but anything that jumps out for you?
Well, for me, oh, my God. I'm such a little basic... I love all the like decorations and stuff like that. I just love the aesthetics of it. So the Beacons of Magic is like the major thing for me, but I was wary of the golden statues when they were like announcing who all the people were. I'm like these are weird. They make no sense whatsoever. But then seeing them in the park, I'm like, these are really cool. I'm like, I would have so much fun just like running around the parks trying to find all the golden statues and just like taking pictures with them. Yeah. Mostly the fact that they have a golden Pua, that like the fact that at the beginning of the year we sort of manifested a golden Pua with our awards episode and then it happened. I mean, I'd probably get kicked out of the park because I'd try and figure out a way to like saw it off of its pedestal and like take it with me. That's really all I want.
That was exactly going to be my segue because I was like, the golden Pua, which I think what came, I think somebody at Disney was listening to your podcast and was like, oh, golden Pua. What if we did golden statues? And so as far as I'm concerned, Poor Unfortunate Podcast is the reason we have the 50th golden statues. So,
they should send us a couple of golden statues for our
I thought you were gonna say a couple of $100. Yeah. That would work. Oh,
I would if you can have the money if they send me the golden Pua. That's all I want. They can keep Hey because I don't need that mess in my life. But no, Pua, I'll take.
Just golden Pua. So golden Puas that was an award thing that you all came up with in your show, which we'll talk about. But let's talk about the show, Poor Unfortunate Podcast. The name is just great. And the description of the show is the ultimate listening experience for those grown-up Disney kids looking to shoot the shit about Disney the way they do with their friends. And I think that's a perfect description. Because when you listen to it, I do feel like I'm sitting the way you talk with people about Disney. You just like banter, you agree, you disagree, you say what you love, you say what you hate, you say, you know, like we just get like real. And I love that about the show. So what I would love to know is who came up with the idea for the show. Talk about like the origins.
I mean, I think we came up with the idea of the show, I think mostly because we were just, we always would talk about Disney pretty much as part of the daily ritual for us. That's what Caroline would say. It's part of the daily ritual. And both being actors and, you know, being pushed down in jobs that were sort of sucking some souls out of us, we were like, how do we artistically sustain ourselves? And we were like, whatever, we'll figure out how to do a podcast. And I had some friends that were creating a podcast that was about politics and things like that. So I was very grateful to them that I was able to sort of like pick their brain. And then we were like, yeah, let's do this. And then it was like, I think from impetus to actually launching the podcast was, what was it, like three or four years?
Yeah.
Of like figuring out what this thing was going to be. Mm-hmm. Yeah. From like figuring out what it was going to be, figuring out the format, the vibe, getting the artwork, getting equipment, recording a couple of episodes that sound like garbage now when you listen to them. I'm ashamed. They're like the biggest piece of shame, and I won't get rid of them because they it's important to know where you come from, but I'm like, God, I wish I could remaster them. But yeah, that's just like sort of the gist of like where it came from. It was just out of us trying to figure out a way to keep ourselves sane and feeling like we were doing something artistic when the business of the business wasn't having us.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And it went through a couple of different iterations before it became Poor Unfortunate Podcast. We tried out a couple of different names and vibes, and nothing was quite hitting. And right before we were like Poor Unfortunate Podcast, for a brief 24 hours or so, we were the Gospel Truth.
Ooh, and, I like that. Yeah.
But then we made the Insta and all of the like the Bible people came.
Oh, they started following up. We were like, oh no, no, we can't do this.
Bible podcast.
So like, we
and then we're going to be like, and then we're going to start cursing about Disney and they're going to be like, what is this? We had an iPhone note of a ton of different names.
Yeah.
Just sort of like crossing them off. But then Poor Unfortunate Podcast, we were like, this sort of rolls off the tongue. Yeah, this sort of feels right.
Yeah.
And that's where we started. And we just went from there.
Yeah, it's been nice because I feel like it kind of provided its own like aesthetic in a way, which has been super helpful of like, okay, we're associating it with Ursula in some way. So we've got purples and blacks and that's the vibe. Yeah. So that was super helpful as well. The Gospel Truth, I don't really know where we would have gone with that.
I don't know.
In some other life, I want to see the Gospel Truth podcast.
Yeah, that's in the pre-Thanos snap universe kind of thing.
Exactly.
And so you said it spent years kind of coming up with it. Now, were you going to release it? Did the pandemic come in and it stopped you, delayed you? Like how did the release, like when did you decide to start releasing?
I think the pandemic helped us. Honestly, like we had recorded a year before
four
the
episodes
pandemic.
we recorded four episodes a year before the pandemic.
And we again, like we said, part of the reason we were doing this is just like we were working these side jobs, things were so busy, and we were just like, okay, we gotta get to figuring out how we're gonna edit this. All right, we'll do it. And we're so busy that we couldn't get to it, and then the pandemic halted everything, and Connor was just like, all right, we're gonna figure this out. And so then that was April, right, when we released our first episode.
It was like end of March, beginning of April. It was somewhere around there. Because so we were just strange, like I was just like, kicking the tires with the editing, and I was like, we can't do this anymore. We gotta sit down and figure it out. And we figured it out. And then what was kind of great is like, you know, I was furloughed for a bit, sort of, you know, getting back to work, I was able to kind of ease back into finding the balance between work and doing a podcast, so that now when I'm working full time, I can still do the podcast and I only lose a little piece of my mind as opposed to the whole mind.
But it just keeps thinking, like, you know, capitalism, baby. Like it sucks the life out of you sometimes. Mm-hmm. Like you said, if we hadn't established that rhythm without work, I don't know what would have happened. It's really interesting to be grateful in some ways for this period of time. It's strange. Yeah,
it feels like you said, weird to be grateful for the pandemic, but at the same time, so many great things have come out of it, like this, and just you're able to be like, hey, this is something I've always wanted to do, and now I've been given this time to do it. Luckily, not being sick or anything. Now, what I also love about the show is the theme song, and I want to know, how did that theme song come to be? Because it starts off with like the classic, makes me think of the VHS tape intro, and then it comes into this like, beep, 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 and then it's like this techno, like, oh, and I just love it. So whose idea was that?
That was Connor. I've got to say, Connor, part of Connor's sense of humor is like that air horn type sense of humor. I feel like before we came up with the intro, like you would do that sometimes. You'd be like, beep, 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 like if things were going badly or something. And I feel like it's that combined with, we also love Six the Musical. And there was just a beat in one of the songs in Six that really inspired us. So when we were first drafting together what we wanted it to sound like, it's pretty much just Connor hitting play on the Disney intro and then hitting air horns and then hitting this song from Six so that we could communicate to the person who made it for us what kind of vibe we were going for.
Yeah. The other big influence of it was the album Mouse House from the 90s, where they did all those like electronic house remixes of classic Disney songs. And I'm like, this, I need this, but for poor, unfortunate souls. And we kind of got there and I was like, all right, I'll take it.
It sounds so great. Yeah, I remember that Mouse House. They play those songs. I think we talked about it in, we'll talk about Poor Unfortunate Fam in a little bit, but the Facebook group, somebody brought up, or maybe you brought up, Connor, that they play those songs before Fantasmic, like when you're waiting.
Yeah, Courtney said that. That was like that's one of my favorite things about Fantasmic, is it's like one of the few times in my life that I get to acknowledge that this album lived outside of my childhood home for a period of time, where I was like, I thought no one knew what this was, and then all of a sudden it's there and everyone's like grooving to it, and I'm like, oh, I'm validated.
Yeah, I love hearing those songs before the show. So do you have any favorite episodes of ones you've done that jump out to either one of you? Caroline, do you have a favorite episode or two?
Yeah, I feel like I'll always love, we are obsessed with Brandy Cinderella. So I'll
there
always
it is. I knew it was coming. I knew it was coming.
We talk about Brandy Cinderella and Annie, because honestly, just because partially because growing up, like the Wonderful World of Disney musicals were everything to me. So again, like it makes me think of the reason why we started this is like to connect with other people who are like, oh my God, yeah, that was everything to me too. But I really enjoyed doing a couple of rant and raves ago, we focused on some Disney couples. And so we talked about the toxicity of Peter Pan and Wendy, and then what is really going on with Bert and Mary Poppins. And I really fell down a rabbit hole with Mary Poppins and Bert. Like, I kind of scared myself for a second because I got really into it. But it's just like, I love, you know, when we take the time to do the research for these things, like I learned things about the original Mary Poppins book that I never even knew, and that there kind of was a romance. Just really like, you always learn something new. I love that.
Awesome. Connor, what about you? Any favorites?
Well, I would have to say that Mary Poppins, Peter Pan and Wendy episode was one that I was not expecting to be my favorite, and very, very quickly became like one of my absolute favorite episodes that we've ever done, for exactly that reason. Like, I just sort of fell down a rabbit hole. I'm like, yeah, and I hate this about them, and I hate this about them. And then once Caroline sort of brought in all of the conspiracy theories of Mary Poppins and Bert, blew my mind. But I also would probably have to say, I really enjoy a lot of our rant and rave episodes. The one that we did of, it was called Hellfire and Frozen Hearts, about the two Disney villains that we compared. Wow, it's like we are in sync with
each
other.
Like we have a podcast together.
That one was one of my favorites because I just love being able to have a hot take and just like going deep into it. So that was a good one. But there's one that I think will always hold a special place in my heart, and I think probably because it's kind of like the one that no one ever listens to. But we did an episode, it was a showdown episode, where we compared Pirates of the Caribbean the ride and Pirates of the Caribbean the movie to the Haunted Mansion the ride and the Haunted Mansion the movie. And it was the first time that we ever attempted to do something as big as that, and it was a very long episode, and there was so much research involved. And I'm just like, I think out of the sheer grit that we put into that one and just like figuring it out, there's always gonna be a special place in my heart with that one. And then obviously Golden Pooas, because favorite season awards, as Moira Rose would say.
Yes.
So good. So some of my favorite episodes are ones that you all mentioned, starting with It's Possible, Cinderella versus Annie, because again, I loved the 90s Disney musicals on TV. It's like, I just wish they just made them every year.
Bring it back every year. Yes. Oh my gosh.
And yes. That was actually the first episode where I found you all, the show was that one. And it was so great. I was like, oh my gosh, like everything they're saying, yes, 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 yes. And then it like magic, because again, Disney listens to your show. Right after, Disney was like, guess what? Cinderella will be on Disney Plus. Because I think on the show, you're like, why is it on Disney Plus? And then all of a sudden, they're like, this Valentine's Day, we're releasing Brandy's Cinderella on Disney Plus. And I was like, oh my God, they did it. And it's just another reason that I think Disney does listen to your podcast. But
don't feed into it, Ryan. We're gonna jump into a conspiracy theory about that now every time we're gonna think about it.
I'm like, yeah, I'm creating like misinformation. Facebook's gonna like tag me. They're like, stop creating misinformation. I loved that episode. I also loved, I don't know why this one stuck out to me, but I love the unpopular opinions, the bear, the bow, and the wardrobe, where Connor talks about loving Narnia and Caroline talks about hating Merida.
Oh, yeah, that part.
But I don't know why, I just love that, like that one. It just stuck out to me. I think because I love when you both, things I love about the show is your relationship and how you come together, but you can completely disagree with each other, but like it's not in a bad way, but you'll just be like, no, like you're wrong, like you just move on, like, but it's so great. And Caroline hating Merida is just something that sticks out to me. I don't know why.
We first learned to interact that way when I discovered how Caroline loves Catherine Zeta-Jones as Desiree Armfelt in the revival of A Little Night Music, and I am completely team Bernadette Peters. Correct. We will never agree on that particular subject, but that's where we learned how to coexist.
We had to,
because otherwise there was no path forward. There's just truly no path forward.
Yeah, and I love that because, you know, Disney, people can be very, you know, protective about their opinions, but the way you all do it is like, you just move forward, but it's like humor, it's like funny, and I know you don't like really hate each other, but
no, I'm joking. Sorry.
One of my others was the first annual PUAs, which is the Poor Unfortunate Awards, and there were like 20 categories, over 100 nominees. I don't know how you all like
I did not even realize that. Oh my god.
Yeah, like how did you put that together, an awards, like, were you like, let's do an awards? Like, how do you even start?
It was Caroline's idea.
Oh, was it? I was just about to say, your idea. Like, oh my goodness, I cannot even remember. Part of it is honestly, like, what I will say is having the four types of episode structure is super helpful to us, while at the same time sometimes being tricky because we get up to these wild card episodes and what
people
tips
and tricks.
Yeah, our tips and tricks are those difficult too. We sometimes struggle, and we know that when we do the wild card episodes, people really like when we do a game of some sort or something that they can sort of interact with too. And we were up to a wild card and it just so happened to be like award season. So it was kind of organic that way, luckily. But yeah, that's those times where the structure really, really helps.
Yeah, I think it was like I took 10 categories and I just like made them up, just like the most obscure niche categories ever. And then Caroline did the same thing, and then we decided who the nominees were, but we completely turned it over to the other person to say who the winner was. So like I had no idea who the winner was until Caroline was saying it right there live on the podcast. I had many opinions about some of the choices that she made, but
yes,
okay. That's how award season goes.
Yeah, the one that comes to mind is Connor made a great category. Was it Hero? Anyway, it was a category where he felt that Mulan definitely should have won, and I gave the award to Esmeralda. So that was one of the big upsets. Yeah, it was like non-princess, right?
Yeah, right. Female in a leading role, non-princess. Yes. It was Mulan, Esmeralda, Judy Hopps. Did I threw in Jane from Tarzan?
Jane, I think, was in there. Yeah, yeah.
And
so, yeah.
somebody else was in there.
Yeah.
But I was like, it's Mulan.
Is that Esmeralda?
Which is my other opinion that I haven't ever fully kind of gone into, that Mulan is very much not a Disney princess, and I'll die on that.
We need an episode about that.
Yeah,
you'll get it.
Putting it off, we're like, that's going to be a zinger, baby.
I know. That's when everyone's going to stop listening to the podcast.
But like, well, you know what? You know, it's for those girls. It's an honor to be nominated. So
there you go.
Exactly.
They should all approach that. So, Caroline, you mentioned the structure. That's one thing I wanted to talk about too. Can you go through like the structure of your episodes? Because they have different formats and they're fun, and just sort of, you know, what made you come up with them? Because I think you mentioned, or early on, like the BuzzFeed quizzes kind of play, like it kind of gives you some ideas about some of the ideas for the episodes.
Yeah. Like the BuzzFeed quizzes in general, like Disney BuzzFeed quizzes, like in the demographic of like people our age who really like taking those, was a big inspiration of the podcast in general, I feel like. But honestly, the podcast originally was going to be, every episode was going to be a rant and a rave. And we were like, okay, yeah, we just want to talk about Disney and like, you know, a positive and a negative every episode. And then
we went to IHOP.
We were at IHOP. That's where IHOP. We have our business meetings, is it IHOP? Right. And what did I don't know. How did that conversation come about?
We were just sitting there eating, and then you were like, Connor, I feel really strongly that we should have different type of episodes. Like every episode should be different. And I was like,
and
whoa.
You're like, what are you saying to
and
me?
And the like very sort of like structured part of myself was like, Agent of Chaos, get out of here. I can't deal with this right now.
Yeah.
And then I was like, okay, this isn't just my project. Caroline, what would they be? And you were like, well, I would love to do a tips and tricks episode where I can share with people the tips and tricks and stuff like that. I was
hilarious,
like,
hilarious, because that is going to bite me in the butt now, because I
know
so hard for me.
But it was at that IHOP meeting where we were like, okay, yeah, let's look at some other episodes of like, we had known a couple of the episodes that we wanted to do right away, mm-hmm. which became those like first four episodes. Mm-hmm. And we were like, okay, maybe we can take these and make them the sort of structure of what everything else will be. So we kept the rant and the rave, and then we desperately wanted to compare Cinderella and Beauty and the Beast, both live action versions. Mm-hmm. And we were like, okay, a showdown, things that are, we tell you what, which one's better. Mm-hmm. And then tips and tricks, because Caroline was like, I want to share my opinions with the world. And
here I was thinking like, this was the before times. And like, you know, me and my family love Disney. We used to go all the time, right. But little did I know I would not be returning for some time. So the joke was on me. Cause that was going to be part of it too, of just like, you know, growing up, going to Disney, I feel like I really knew it and I had some things to share, but yeah, I haven't been back in a little while. So that shifted to a new kind of episode type, not so focused on the parks. Yeah.
And then we just threw in the wild card so that we could have a catch all episode if we wanted to stray from the format in any type of way and just figure out what happens. And then we were like, okay, that's four. If we're doing it bi-weekly, that's like 2 months. That'll get us through the, like, it just felt very round and
orderly.
It just felt kind of meant to be in the way that it happened. Yeah. I think honestly that was one of the best decisions that we probably could have made, is to have the format rotating, because it just keeps everything feeling fresh. It makes it easier for us to come up with ideas of episodes, because it forces us to be a little bit more creative in the way that we do things. So yeah, thank you, Caroline, for that. As much as my gut was saying, no, run out of this IHOP.
It's like, if it had been left to me, if it was just me, I would have been like, yeah, you know, every episode will be different. We'll figure it out as we go. That wouldn't have worked. So we balanced each other out very nicely.
Yeah,
it's great. I mean, it's great for the audience too, because as a listener, like knowing, like seeing the titles and being like, oh, it's a showdown, or like, oh, it's this, like I know what like is coming, or like, it's a great way to sort of, you know, keep audience, because it's different, it's unique to your show. Not a lot of people do that, and I think that's a so very nice. Unique quality of your show.
Thank you, Ryan.
Well, so other, I want to talk about some of my other favorite ones. So then there was the Beluga Savruga brackets, which was really unique because you completely let your listeners interact and you created these Google Sheets. It was like fantasy football for Disney, I think. Is that how fantasy football works? I don't know. I'm not in sport.
You're asking it was, wrong
it was,
people.
It was like a March Madness bracket.
Like March Madness.
Exactly. Football, but basketball. Sports ball. March good Madness. Old sports ball.
Sports ball. Touchdown. It was like March Madness. Yes, that's it. And there was brackets, characters. You guys made these Google Sheets. Everybody could fill out and send it to you. There was a winner. I didn't win. Hashtag rigged. But it was, I'm just kidding.
You were so close.
But it was so
you
fun to
Ariel
do
just
it.
Just taking everything.
Yeah, I know. I did. I can't help it. Ariel's my favorite. She's the best. And it was fun because it was something like, especially again, during this time when we're all just like craving something, you kind of put out something where you're like, hey, fill this out, send it back. And then to come out to the episode, I'm like, oh, I can listen and follow along and be like, oh, I didn't make it or I did make it, you know, and it was really cool. And that was
so terrible because it just depended on our ridiculous opinions. So you could be totally met like.
There's like no right answer.
I think we recorded like maybe 4 to 5 hours worth of content episode before we.
It was a two-parter. I'm pretty sure it was a two-parter.
It was our first and only two-parter that we've ever done.
Yes,
because we were like, yeah, we'll do two different brackets, and then you know,
how long did it take?
God, it was like, oh, we didn't think this through. Because I remember I told my dad, who is a sports ball fan, and he was like, you're just starting at Sweet 16. I'm like, oh no, we're doing the full. And he's like, you're doing the full brackets. And I was like, yeah. And he's like, and you're doing two of them. And I was like, yeah.
Is that bad?
It ended up not being bad, but it was just, it became a bigger episode than we were intending, but it was a great finale for the first season. So,
It was totally fun to do it. And it was tough too. Like, that's what I loved about it. I was like, oh, and you have like the two characters or like, you're like, oh, who do I pick? And you know, it was
painful.
Really fun.
Painful. Yeah. I'm still upset about some of those choices. I'm not even going to lie. I still think about them sometimes before I go to sleep.
The other episode you both mentioned was Practically Imperfect Pairings. This one was like a psychological thriller. It was Peter and Wendy, Mary Poppins and Bert. And Peter and Wendy, you always grew up being like, they're so cute. You know, Wendy has a crush on Peter. He likes her. But then when you guys explore it, I was like, wow, this is some heavy toxicity in this relationship. Like he is like awful to her. And she's just like, but I love you, you know? And it's like, what is taught to us? And he's like, you think, I was like, wow, Peter's so awful to her. Like the mermaids try to drown her. And he's like, ha ha ha. Wendy. and then Mary Poppins and Bert, there was like a lot of work. I know, Caroline, you mentioned doing a lot of work on this, but just about their relationship. I think there was even a pathway that like maybe they had a child together that they lost. And like, I was like, whoa, I never thought about this before.
I think, where did I pick up that from? I think that was on some like I want to say like a Reddit.
Like dark chain. Web.
Yeah. And I was like, oh, now I've read it and I can never unsee it. And then when you rewatch it with all that in mind, it's an interesting experience.
Yeah. And then Connor, for the Peter Wendy, like, what did you always feel that way? Or did you have to like rewatch and be like, oh, you know what? This actually isn't okay.
I didn't always feel that way. I think with that one, me and my family, we're very hard on Wendy. We're like, we hate Wendy, blah, blah, blah. Like, just like not great things. We're like, we hate her. And then I was like, yeah, they're a bad relationship, blah, 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 blah. And then I sat down, I watched again. I tried to keep an open mind. And I was glad that I did, because after watching it that time and not having seen it for quite a bit, I was just shocked at how much I actually felt sorry for Wendy. And I'm like, oh my God, I've been putting so much of the things that I don't like about them on Wendy. And it's truly not her fault at all. Everything is wrong with Peter. And so that was like an actually very eye-opening and enlightening experience for me watching it again. And just furiously taking notes on my couch as I'm watching this. I'm just like, clickety clack, clickety clack. Like, yeah.
It's I recommend that episode to people. I'm like, if you want to listen to one, I was like, that one, just, you guys just really delve into the, it's just like so good. It just really gets you thinking.
Oh, yay.
And so some more recent, two recent ones, Make Mine Menken, because I love Alan Menken and I love main titles. I think, and this brings me to the phrase that I never heard before till Connor said it, which was slut for spectacle. And I was like, oh my God, that's a brilliant phrase.
Yeah.
Slut for spectacle.
We're going to make t-shirts that say it one day.
Yeah. And I was like, oh, well, if you're a slut for spectacle, I said, I'm a mistress for Menken. I don't know. Because I love Alan Menken.
I think those should be the t-shirt duos we release. I think I would be a mistress of Menken as well.
I love what you, in that episode, you sort of, you guys actually make playlists, and you've done this before, but the playlists you put out and you're like, hey, we curated these playlists based on the episode. This one's a lot of main titles or opening songs to Disney films. And I just, as I love so much of the music, and Connor, you mentioned like when you see that like Walt Disney Picture Presents, and it's, you just kind of get that feeling like, oh, it's a Disney movie. It's like, it's going to be good. I love that. And then your most recent episode, which has a great title, which is Be Our Guests.
That was Connor. Connor coming in clutch. Yes.
Be Our Guests, in which you did a 50th anniversary game. And this game was kind of hard. Because I was
extremely hard. What you would say. I wanted to see what you
were saying. It was extremely hard because Caroline just was like, here's your clue. Purple. Here's your clue. Pink. And I'm like, how am I supposed to have an honest attempt at this?
Ryan, I really wanted to know what you thought, because I had a listener who has only been to the parks like maybe once or twice be like, that was impossible for me. And then I had someone who's a listener and a friend to call me yell at me because I couldn't get one of Connor's. And he was like, what is the matter with you? It was so easy. It's so obvious. So I really wanted to hear what you thought, Ryan, because you're right in the sweet spot of like the same level of knowledge. Okay. Okay.
Yeah. Both of you had some ones where there were some where I guessed off the first one. And then there were some where I was like, I don't know what this is. And then I did feel for Connor, because when Caroline, you had Magic Kingdom, I was like, there are so many effing attractions in Magic Kingdom. And I'm like, what is like that? Like, it's tough. Yeah. Window. It was tough, but you both got each other, and the clues you came up with. So I don't know if I explained the game, but the game was you got three clues each or four clues? Mm-hmm.
Three
clues each, one word, and the other had to guess the attraction. And you said like, okay, this is Magic Kingdom, and you would give, you know, a word, you had to guess the attraction. It's a really fun game because I sat there being like, okay, what could it be? What could it be? but I'll say one of the ones I guessed, I was really proud of myself right off the bat. The first clue was shovel. And I was like, fantastic.
You got that?
Yes.
Good for
you.
Like, I was like the Pocahontas section in Fantasmic.
Oh,
thank
my God.
You,
brilliant.
Ryan.
Oh, good job. Mm.
So I was proud of myself for that.
Wow.
But that sort of brings me to talking about, not really a good segue, but I want to talk about your social media aspect. You created this group called Poor Unfortunate Fam on Facebook, and everyone, you know, that listens can join. Can you talk a little bit about what the group is, like what sort of made you come up with it?
Well, first of all, I just have to say, Ryan, you really helped make that group what it is. You're such a, you're so wonderful. And like, Ryan always posts these amazing like quizzes for us to take and like, or a fun question that really gets me thinking. Ugh, you're the best. And like,
love
that's
to participate.
When I was living at home with my parents throughout the pandemic, every Friday, like I would come downstairs from working or whatever, and my dad was like, did you see what Ryan posted today?
Oh my God.
Yes!
like, not yet. I'm going to look at it.
I set myself up because I was doing it, and then there were some I missed, and I was like, oh, it was Friday and I didn't post anything. And then I felt bad.
You can't put that kind You're of forgiven. Pressure on yourself. No, you can't. But honestly, the fam was, that was Connor. And again, it's so funny. Like some of these things, I'm like, how did it even come about? But like, I was thinking the other day, I was like, you know, some of the things that have really pushed us forward into just new directions, I'm like, oh, it's because Connor had a really good idea. And this was definitely one where I think you were like, we should have a place where people can talk. And I was like, oh yeah, I guess so. And then one day you were like, okay, I made it. It's on Facebook. And I was like, oh.
Well, and that's not fair.
If you left it up to me, like I would have been like, yeah, good idea. Yeah, we should do that one day.
No. But so outside, like so much, all of our social media work is all Caroline. Like the Instagram, which is our like shining jewel of our social media, that really is pretty. All Caroline. And like she just does an amazing job with that. And like even trying to make that as interactive as possible. Like whatever we do, you know, like when we did the brackets, she put every single option in the stories of I'm like, girl, go for it.
Yeah,
but I want people who just happen to know me and like don't really listen to the podcast. That's totally fine. God bless them. But would come over to vote in that, and they were like, "When are you posting the next round?" And I was like, "That's all I need to hear. It makes it worth it."
Yeah,
my now boss at where I work, she followed the podcast and listens to the podcast and would participate in the social media to the point where when I went into my interview, it was like a second interview for the job I'm in now. I had mentioned, I'm like, oh, I have a podcast and I love Disney. And she was like, hang on a second. Is it Poor Unfortunate Podcast? And I was like, yeah. And she's like, oh, my God.
Oh, my God.
It was the weirdest thing ever. But she was like, I follow you on social media and I do all of the stories and I listen to the podcast. It was like, it was crazy. It was crazy.
You're like, so when do I start?
Yeah, I fortunately, I did get the job. So there we go.
But oh, Ryan, you excellent. Do a great job with it too, because I like what you do of like, here are some hints about the next episode. Just again, just like an interactive thing. It's really smart.
Yeah, I try to, you know, social media is hard, but I was going to bring that up with you all too, because your social media is just like, it is like beautiful and the stories that you create. I was going to ask like, who kind of takes over the social media? Caroline. And it's tough. And your things always look so, the fonts and the way the structure, I was like, oh. I feel like I need an intern. I'm like, do the social media.
Oh my God, I'll be your intern. I wish I could just do it all the time, because I really do take genuine joy out of like colors and little pictures. And so I just wish I could do it all the time. I have a great I have a great time doing it, but it's wild. Like it really does take like a couple hours a day. It's really tough, but it's so much fun. So if you need an intern, consider this my application.
Okay. Well, I want to pay you. So when it takes off, then I'll pay you, hire you. Okay. I don't want people working for free. We have enough of that in the entertainment industry.
I know.
Oh, so now what I want to do in the spirit of like your show, I kind of bring a little of your show into this one. I want to play a game.
Yes.
And God. I don't think you all have done anything like this. And if you have, you're going to do it again.
But
it's a take on the game. You know the Mary F. Kill game?
Yes.
So we can make it more like, you know, so we don't have to say the F word all the time, which I don't care. But we can call it Kiss, Mary, or Diss.
Oh, okay.
And that's
KMD.
KMD, brought to you by BuzzFeed, because I got the idea for this from BuzzFeed. Again, BuzzFeed. So BuzzFeed. There's four rounds. We're going to do Kiss, Marry, or Diss with Disney princes.
Oh, yes.
Love it.
Okay, so first round is Prince Florian from Snow White.
Okay.
Aladdin and Kristoff. So Connor, we'll start with you. Who are you going to kiss, marry, and diss?
Oh, very, very easy. We're dissing Florian, we're kissing Aladdin, and we are marrying Kristoff, like, hands down.
Correct.
Yes. That's mine, too. I was like, Florian is boring. Aladdin would be a great time, but Kristoff, you know, he says the things about, like, my love's not fragile. He's like
He's marriage material. Yeah. Oh, my God. Yes.
You do an episode on that, Caroline. Now he's marriage material.
I love that. Okay, we're all in agreement. Okay, so second round, Prince Eric, Prince Naveen, and Flynn Rider.
Oh, no.
Oh, I love
these are like
this
my
one.
Faves. Oh. Okay.
Caroline, we'll start with you.
Oh, this is so tough. Okay. I'm going to diss. Oh, God. I'm going to diss Prince Eric. It's sacrilege. So tough. I just know a little bit less about his personality.
He's gay. That's all you need to know.
He's just willing to go off. I mean, he was under a spell, but I feel like maybe he would go off with other women. I don't know. So he's going to get dissed. And then I'm going to kiss Prince Naveen. Because he just, like, I don't know if he's learning, but I don't know if I would trust him enough to marry him. And then I'm gonna marry Flynn Rider. I have like a real Flynn Rider thing. I love him. And he's a ruffian, but I'm willing to take that risk. Yeah.
All right. Connor, what about you?
Well, I'm going to diss Prince Naveen because I do not need that kind of chaos in my life every single day. No, thank you. Oh my God. He would not help out in any way, and it would just frustrate me, or I would have to remind him every single, I couldn't do that. Right. So I'm going to kiss Flynn Rider because, like, dreamy. And then I'm going to marry Prince Eric because we love the first gay Disney prince. We love him. So we gotta put respect on it.
So me and Connor are in somewhat agreement. I'm going to diss Flynn Rider because it's just too much for me.
Ryan! Wow.
I'm going to kiss Naveen, though, because I think that could be fun. And I'm going to marry Prince Eric because he likes men.
Yeah, he does.
And that's really... Yeah.
You're a perfect mixture of what me and Connor said. It's beautiful. I love it.
Okay.
Caroline, for my birthday, got me pillowcases, and one pillowcase has Prince Eric on it.
I know which one you mean.
Yeah.
Is it the
one? One has
the
castle.
It looks like he's looking at you?
Yeah.
Yep. I have a picture of me looking into him. It's like the day after my birthday, and I'm like, hi.
Yeah, it's like if you lay on your side, it looks like you two are like looking at each other.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I've seen that. Thank you, Caroline. Oh, what a good gift. Okay, third round. So we have Prince Adam from Beauty and the Beast, Shang from Mulan, and Prince Philip from Sleeping Beauty.
Mm.
And Connor, we'll start with you when you're ready.
Shang, Philip, and who was the first one?
Prince Adam from Beauty and the Beast.
Prince Adam. Oh, God.
God.
My God.
This is a hard one.
This is a tough one. Yeah.
Shang, Philip. Who is the other one again?
Prince Adam. The Beast.
Adam. Oh, my God. Okay. I'm going to kiss Prince Adam.
Huh.
Okay. I am going to... Just because if he still has some sort of beast-like temper, I'll need that drama in my life all the time.
Wow.
So that's why I'm going to keep him where he needs to be.
Okay.
In terms of marrying, yeesh, because these two guys would, like, they do a lot. Like, one kills Maleficent, the worst Disney villain ever. And then the other one is just like marriage material. I'm going to.
Changed my answer. Oh my God. Hearing you talk about this out loud, my answer has changed. Okay. Okay.
Yep.
I think I'm going to marry Shang just because I feel like I have a little bit more of his personality that I know. I like how honorable he is. I like how, I don't know. I like, he plays the game pretty well in terms of like his shyness and also, but like when he comes to Mulan's house at the end of the film, I'm like, oh, he comes for dinner. I like that.
Okay.
But not to say, I don't want to diss Prince Philip either, but I just feel like I don't know enough about him. And I do know that the fairies are pulling a lot of work in that battle with Maleficent. But I guess if I had to give a reason why I'm dissing him, it would be that I just don't kiss people when they're asleep and you don't have that built-in consent.
I love it. So Connor's dissing Prince Philip, you're kissing Prince Adam, and you're marrying Shang.
Yeah, that's it.
Okay.
Okay. What about you, Caroline?
All right, so my answer was originally going to be dissing Prince Philip, but then I started thinking about this. I'm going to end up dissing Shang because he actually, for the reason you like him, Connor, he just doesn't put the moves on enough for me personally. I like him a little bit assertive. And Prince Philip, I'm definitely kissing Prince Philip because he'll come up to you like in the forest, romance you really quick. I'm not trying to stick around with him because, again, I don't really know much about his personality. Would definitely kiss him in the woods and just call it a day. So then, yeah. And then also Shang, and this is a very nice thing, but he's very dedicated to his work. And I think sometimes I'd be vying for some attention. So unfortunately, I'm going to diss him and I'm going to marry Prince Adam because he is everything to me. Sure. I don't really know what he's like. I know he has a library. But when he flips around after he's transformed, like it made me the person I am today.
Stunner.
Yeah. It made
me. Good morning. Hello.
Yeah, so I owe him a lot. So I'm going to marry him for sure. Yeah. I want to live in that castle. Yeah. I want to be Belle. So I'm going to marry him.
Oh, wait. If you get the castle. Oh,
yeah.
Crap.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, I gave my answer. It's fine.
So Caroline's marrying Adam, dissing Shang, and kissing Prince Philip.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
I actually fell with Connor. Exactly. I was dissing Prince Philip, kissing Prince Adam, and marrying Shang for the reason you mentioned. I was like, I feel like Shang gets taken down a few pegs and he becomes a little more like, okay, like I can be a little softer. Like he's so like, he's so cold in the beginning. And so like, I'm the captain. But then I feel like at the end with Mulan, he's like, oh, he's a little more gentle. I'm like, all right. So he, you know, I can work with that. Can work with that. Philip to me is always kind of like, I don't like, maybe it's the older movies. They're always kind of not interesting to me as much.
Yeah. And his hair is a little weird. I can own that.
Yeah. Like, no, his hair is nice. He's got that like dangly thing going down the middle.
Oh, I forgot. Like, oh. It's a little poofy, but he does have the dangly piece.
He's got the dangly.
Yeah.
And then Prince Adam, I'm just, there's so much mystery as to, I'm like, well, will you be like with the beast or not? But I think it would just be fun to just kiss him and move on.
That's valid.
Kiss. Okay. And move on.
Kiss and move on.
In air quotes.
Your final round. So this one is interesting because I had to throw in a non-prince because the Disney prince list is kind of short.
Yeah.
And also, this one was hard. All right, I'll just tell you the princes. So Prince Charming from Cinderella. John Smith, who is considered a Disney prince, but I don't know why. But whatever, I have like a whole thing about that. And then my throw in non-prince is Tarzan.
Oh, this is quite a category.
We'll start with you, Caroline, since we started with Connor last time.
Okay. I'm going to diss Tarzan. Just because, again, a little bit unpredictable. I don't really want to sign up for, like, teaching him thing. Like, that's Jane thing. I'm not here to teach a man anything. And I'm honestly, like, the whole, like, living in the jungle lifestyle definitely is not my thing. So I wouldn't be happy. So he's got to go. And then... and then as much as I would just, like to be... marry Prince Charming and be a princess after one of our episodes in which Connor broke down why Prince Charming sucks, I can't see him any other way. So again, he would be super fun. Hang around at the ball for one night, kiss him, have that memory to hold with me forever, and then let it go. And then, listen, John Smith is kind of in his way. You're right. He's not a prince. But also, I get that he's like, in a way, a little bit toxic. He's a little toxic. We've got like some white supremacist tendencies that are not good. So I'm not basing it off of any of that. Literally, again, I'm just basing this off of like my childhood.
And his looks.
He's hot. And I just like loved him in my childhood. He's willing to learn, which I think is a really great trait in a partner that you're going to marry. Like willing to learn, willing to listen, and like admit that he was wrong. And yeah, that I'll take it. Yeah. And also, I cannot get over it. It's just to make up for everything that goes down in Pocahontas 2 and her rejecting him. I'll take him to make up for that.
Okay. So you're dissing Tarzan, you're kissing Prince Charming, but you're marrying John Smith.
Yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm. All right. What about you, Connor?
See, my conflict here is whether or not I'm marrying Prince Charming or marrying Tarzan, because the logic here is Prince Charming, I don't need you in my life. You're just boring and you're just like a blank slate. But if I was royalty and had all that power, the amount of stuff that I would be able to do that I would just suddenly have a platform to do, I'm like, that might be a good deal. But at the same time, if I wanted like a companion, Tarzan's an excellent companion. He's very devoted. Mm-hmm. He, you know, can stand up for what he believes in, but he's also has like a really good heart. So I think I'm going to go the route of Tarzan, because I'm going to go the route of someone with a good heart. I don't mind teaching people some stuff because I have patience. But we would not be living in the jungle. There is no world in which we are living in that jungle. Okay. He's coming back with me. And then I'm going to diss Prince Charming in that case, because bye-bye. See episode whatever of season one. What was that one called? He has charm for a prince, I guess.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. See that episode for my reasoning. And then I'm going to kiss John Smith, because I want that kiss underneath Grandmother Willow with all of the perspectives and the leaves and going around and the music. Yeah. I want that. I want that. That kiss gives me goosebumps. It's so good. And so many people just like forget about it, but it is perfect, and I want that.
Oh, I love that. All right, well, we sort of share similar. We're going to be fighting at the altar, because I am going to diss John Smith, because I just something about the way he speaks, I'm just like, maybe it's Mel Gibson, I don't know, I'm like, I just don't want you around. I'm going to kiss Prince Charming, because he's probably a closed mouth kisser. I don't know. But and I'm going to marry Tarzan, because I'm like, he's different. And he just seems like he might be a little bit of fun. So, and I agree with you, Connor. I don't think we'd live in the jungle. I think I'd be like, hey, actually, like, we could live like by the beach if you need nature, but like, we're going to go back to like the world or like America.
Yeah. Yeah, so. We're going to live right down the street from the zoo. You can go visit some gorillas when you need. He can be a zookeeper. He can be a zookeeper.
Perfect.
There we go. Perfect. And I'll get discount tickets.
Yeah, I'm like, the Bronx Zoo is pay what you wish on Wednesdays, I think. So you can just, you know, you can go do that.
I cannot.
I love it.
Then he'll get brought home by the NYPD because he was climbing in trees in Central Park. And they're he's doing it again. I'm like, I'm sorry, officer.
Yeah, no.
Yeah, it'll be a lot of work. But like you said, he is a faithful partner, I feel like. Mm. With Jane, he's pretty committed. So
doesn't give up on people. Like, he doesn't give up on Clayton, even at the end. He's trying to save Clayton as he's
like, hey, you're about to hang yourself.
Yeah, exactly. You're about Spoiler to have a spooky alert. Death scene that is going to haunt children's dreams forever.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe not. And then he doesn't anyway. But at least Tarzan tried.
He did try. He does try. That was wonderful. I love hearing your answers to that. That was so fun. Well, thank you both for playing, for coming on here. I want to give the chance to each of you. If you want to tell us what you have coming up, tell us where we can find you on social media. Also, you know, let us know where we can find the show and things like that. Caroline, you want to start?
Yes. So if you want to follow us on social media, we are at Poor Unfortunate Podcast on Instagram and Facebook. And yes, as Ryan talked about, the Poor Unfortunate Fam is also on Facebook if you would like to join us there. We are at Unfortunate Pod on Twitter. And then in terms of coming down the bend, we, you know, as we approach Halloween and then the holidays and the new year, we like to throw out a bunch of bonus little episodes. So that's something that people have to look forward to. Who knows when and which holidays? It's always a little bit of a mystery, but there'll be some extra content coming out before the end of the year. So I always get really excited for those.
Oh, that sounds exciting. I can't wait for a surprise.
Yeah.
Connor, anything you want to promote, share?
Oh, we have a website now.
Yes.
We have a website. It's poorunfortunatepodcast.com. We're still building out a shop feature to it, but looking to have some merchandise that's part of Poor Unfortunate Podcast as well. I know, right? So we will be able to have Slut for Spectacle t-shirts, Ryan. Oh, like, it could happen. It's going to happen. Yeah, we've got a podcast. You can listen to us pretty much anywhere you listen to podcasts, but if you don't have Apple Podcasts or Spotify or Google Podcasts or Stitch or any of them, you can just go right on our website and you can listen right on the website too. So we are very available.
I love it. Oh, I'm so excited for merch. It's going to sell out faster than that vault collection and the 50th anniversary merchandise.
Oh my God. The pictures of like the Emporium when the 50th merch dropped, terrifying. I was disgusted. I was like, oh God, this is everything that's wrong.
I got claustrophobic looking at that. Yeah. And it was scary. Yeah.
I'm like, especially because the Emporium is how I run to the end of Main Street and bypass all the crowds. I cut through the Emporium. Me I don't have too. Time to deal with people taking pictures. And then now you have all these people trying to get merchandise. Get out of here.
A Starbucks cup, that glitter, that purple, like iridescent Starbucks cup that women were like fighting over, physically fighting over. But they're so available. I don't get why that was the item, because you can buy that easily.
You can.
Yeah. Caroline like, would have been one of those.
Yeah. I was like,
actually, I do want that.
But she would have won that fight. She would have,
would have won.
Yeah.
Well, thank you both for coming on. I so appreciate it. And I can't wait for everyone else to listen to Poor Unfortunate Podcast, because it's a lot of fun with our two hosts, Connor Perkins and Caroline Amedi. So thank you both for being on here.
Thank you, Ryan.
Oh, you're the best. We love you so much.
Oh, I love you guys too. And I can't wait to hear more. And everybody check out Poor Unfortunate Podcast. Thanks, everybody, for listening. Wasn't that fun? Caroline and Connor, so great. Love having them on the show. Don't forget to check out Poor Unfortunate Podcasts wherever you listen to your podcast. You won't regret it. And hey, since you're here, subscribe to Disney Inside Out. We've got a lot of fun episodes coming up. Give us a follow on Instagram at Disney Inside Out Podcasts. Give us a rating review. I love to read them. Thank you for listening, and we'll see you real soon.